Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 today. We've got a great show planned for you, including a guest appearance by our buddy Eric Flack, an award-winning reporter at Channel 9. Eric Flack will discuss with us the ongoing quest for the Commanders to be able to build a stadium in D.C. at the old RFK site. Big news on that in the last 24 hours. We'll ask Flack about that at 3. We'll blitz the East, check in on every team in the division coming up at 5 o'clock today. Hello, Danny.
What's up, buddy? I've come to realize a number of things in my life as I've gotten older, my advanced age. It's just never going to be how I want it. And that's on a million different fronts. Things aren't going to be convenient, and it's never going to go the way that you want to go. And that's life. It's just, you adjust and act accordingly. I just want all the information about Alex Ovechkin's knee, and it's just not going to happen. I have not qualified to look at an X-ray and see what I see or an MRI, but I want someone to put it up. I just want the info, and it's just, they're not in the business of doing that. That's all. It's one of those things where I'm going to be frustrated. I'm just going to walk around with a Chip Douglas on my shoulder.
Spencer Carberry did say today, for what it's worth, that there would be another update coming. He said, we're going to release more information. I have to imagine that that will be what you're looking for and what I'm looking for, which is some sort of timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But he did go on the Junkies today. We'll talk about this at 2:45. But he said that it's not a season-ending injury, which, as far as I'm concerned,
that is a big deal,
is a significant win. Because my fear and the trepidation I had going into yesterday's show was that we may have seen the end of Ovi this season. And he made it sound like this week-to-week designation is not just hockey week-to-week because they can say that and get away with it, but rather that it is going to be weeks and not months and that he is going to play again this year. But you'll hear the audio of what he told the Junkies coming up in just a bit on Grant and Danny at 2:45. I actually wanted to start the show with something we have not discussed, but that really grew some legs and ran this weekend, which was after Bo Nix's 4-touchdown game for the Denver Broncos. I don't know if you saw the same talking points and narratives nationally that I did. This is a recency effect thing, but all of a sudden, Bo Nix started to get mentioned as a possible rookie of the year in the NFL. And while Jaden Daniels is still definitively the favorite, if you look at sports books, he is expected to win that award, it's now viewed as a two-horse race, which before the last two or so weeks, it was viewed as over. Like, you could almost take that category off the board. It was obvious Jaden Daniels is going to win the Rookie of the Year award, and with a couple of more strong Bo Nix performances, and Daniels having played his two worst games of the season, now all of a sudden, people are suggesting that we might actually have a race in the second half as far as the Rookie of the Year award goes.
A perennially losing team that's gone through a bunch of coaches and quarterbacks is the third wild card in their conference. The young passer has the team playing better than expectations? Who am I talking about? It's not crazy at all. Bo Nix is putting together a pretty damn good season. The rough start, this is more how it's supposed to go, by the way. The early, put very little on your plate, check it down a million times, just try not to, you know, or just kind of try to survive as everything's happening a million miles an hour in front of you, and then grow a little bit as the season progresses. That's what's happening. What Jaden Daniels was doing is that was beyond abnormal. It's without precedent, basically. Hitting the ground running, so to speak, after a shaky week one, basically turning in MVP caliber performances. I don't know if he's going to win that, but that was frankly the discussion that was on the table, and reasonably so. He's now started to slow down since. Maybe you get back on the good foot with some bad opponents here coming up, and a little bit of rest, maybe some tweaks and adjustments. But Bo Nix has come on like gangbusters. He compares as well or favorably in a lot of statistical measures for a team that's greatly improved. I don't think it's crazy at all at this point. Jaden Daniels is favored and still should be favored, but your next best offensive player, and most specifically quarterback, because that's who's going to get the attention, is probably Bo Nix.
Yeah, if you look at it blind ballot style, I always say. So take the name out of it and just look at the numbers as player A and player B. The comparison is actually, in terms of counting stats, pretty compelling to actually be a competition now in a two-horse race. I'll go through them. Passing yards, 2275 to 2338. Advantage, by the way, there is Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Passing touchdowns, 14 to 10. Advantage there, decidedly, is Bo Nix. Rushing yards, 295 to 482. Obviously, the advantage there is Jaden Daniels. But even that category, which I would have thought would have been crazy lopsided.
It's not.
It's not really. I mean, it's a 100, you know, an 80 yards, which spread out over 11 games is 13 or 14 yards, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big difference, but Bo Nix runs a little bit. I mean, he's going to go run for 500-some yards this year. Rushing touchdowns is actually tied between the two of them at 4 apiece. Turnovers on the year, 6 for Nix and 4 for Daniels. And then the record, I don't really do quarterback record, but to your point, they both are similar in the standings now. Denver 6-5, Washington 7-4. I mean, they're basically a Hail Mary away from having the same record.
Exactly right.
As teams. Right now. And Denver's doing it in a division with the best team in the AFC, who they've already had to play once. You could make the case that Philly's very good and Washington's had to play them. But some other numbers would be total yards. Daniels around 2,800. Nix around 2,600. Completion percentage. Daniels is at 68. Nix is right around 66. Total touchdowns, if you're combining passing and rushing, right? It's 14 for Daniels, 18 for Nix. I just think that Daniels is going to catch fire down the stretch and leave him in his dust. I think he will win this award. I'm not in any way now nervous that he might not. But it is closer than people want to acknowledge probably right now. Because we had kind of crowned Daniels, and I don't mean as Washington fans, we've certainly done that, and understandably and probably deservedly. But nationally, we'd crowned Daniels as the rookie of the year. Like, this is over. We called the race with 6% of precincts reporting. And then all of a sudden, football continues to be played, and it's why you don't give out the awards 5 or 6 weeks in.
The recency part of it as well, right? You have a week like Daniels just did, where against two good opponents, we know we've gone over what happened a million times, but the numbers take a hit. Bo Nix's most recent sample. How about the last two games? About 525 yards between the two games and 6 touchdowns and no pickles. In a couple of in a win against Atlanta, a dominant win, and a close loss to Kansas City, where they should have won the game. Blocked field goal at the horn. He has them beat on the road in Kansas City. Not he, but you know what I mean? It's not a quarterback thing, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a marquee thing. Everybody's watching that. Then you go even further over his last 4 games, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick, averaging about 270 yards per game. He's playing his best football right now this minute, and Jaden Daniels isn't. So that's how you close the gap. Right, Daniels gets, it's like a horse race. Daniels got out to an enormous lead, right, where we're deciding the award in October. And he's still the favorite, still going to win it. But he's not lapping the field anymore. Bo Nix is caught up.
Since week 4, okay? So you're going back now to the right at the tail end of the first month of the season. 14 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown, which I didn't even know he caught a touchdown, and 2 interceptions. So Bo Nix has 17 total touchdowns and 2 interceptions since the start of week 5 in the NFL. He's been better than I really thought.
Yeah.
Because what's funny is every time I watched him early in the year, he played pretty well. But then I would see him just getting crushed on social media by a lot of the folks that I follow. And I think there's like an analytics community group that just not Bo Nix guys. They kind of say, he can't live in the pocket. He's a check down Charlie. All he does is throw behind the line of scrimmage. They just don't like him. So they're going to find faults. But the production has been there. The success has been there. And the gap is certainly closed. There's no doubt about that. I just think Daniels is playing through pain, whatever issue he's dealing with the rib, one of the rougher stretches of his season, and he's going to come out on the other side and play a lot better.
Well, you know what happens in this league a lot of times is the first sample, we go, definitive, we got it. To your point, his first game against Seattle, the first game he played, normally your adjusted net yards per attempt, your league leader is going to be around 9 yards per attempt, give or take. Basically what happens when you drop back to pass, that includes sacks, tackles for loss, incompletions, forward passes, whatever, everything works. Usually your league lead is around 9. League average is usually in around 7. 0.95 yards. That's not 1.95. 0.95. Everything was behind the line of scrimmage. Barely getting past the line of scrimmage on every pass.
You're talking about depth of target. Yeah. His, where he's throwing.
Well, just what happens when you drop back and pass? So yeah. Depth of target was comically low. Then they played Pittsburgh. Does this sound familiar? So the first two games, he doesn't put up any numbers, that he doesn't look good, and everyone goes, aha, I know what Bo Nix is. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Your more recent sample, as we've continued, much more prolific, much more playmaking. You look at some of the rushing totals. You look at some of the escaping from the pocket type plays. Some of the highlights are there. This offense is now pretty decent against bad teams. Good teams, like they went on the road to Baltimore and couldn't manage a loud clap. But when they play teams that are not very good, like Carolina, Atlanta. Again, stop if this isn't familiar to anybody. He rings the bell, they score a bunch of points and look pretty good. His more recent sample has been night and day from what he did the first couple of weeks of the year.
Yeah, it's well said. He is also on a path right now to be named the Rookie of the Month for the second straight month. So this is funny, I think. We talk about Jaden Daniels winning Rookie of the Week almost every single week. And he's won Rookie of the Week at a historical rate in terms of the percentages so far. But Rookie of the Week is voted on by fans. It is a popularity contest, mm-hmm. effectively. Which is not to say that most weeks he wasn't extremely deserving of being the Rookie of the Week, because more often than not, when he's won it, because he's been excellent, he is deserving of it. And I would also just add that you can put a period at the end of this sentence. He has been the most important rookie, the most successful, the most impressive, I guess is the best word, rookie in the National Football League this season. There's no doubt in my mind about that. That said, the Rookie of the Month award, which is actually handed out by the National Football League, where they go over and pour over all the numbers and dive into all the specifics, and then they name an award winner. Daniels won in September, buoyed largely by not only playing great, but that Bengals game in primetime that everybody watched, which is one of the great games I've ever seen a rookie quarterback play. In October, he did not win the award. That was not, injury necessarily. That was at a time where he was still cooking pretty good. Bo Nix won the award for being better in October. In November right now there's still a game, at least, left for both of those guys. But it is possible that this could change. But right now, Bo Nix is pretty convincingly the Rookie of the Month in November. So he will have won the Rookie of the Month award in October and November. He'll have two to Jaden's one going into December,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the Rookie of the Year.
But it's a data point.
Eventually, that balloting comes back to human beings that are watching football, and I think they'll look at it and they'll go, I don't really care if the yards and the touchdowns and the turnovers and whatever else is close. It's really not that close. Jaden Daniels has been more impressive. He's been better. He's the better football player of the two as a rookie this year. And I think that's the realization a lot of people will come to. But the reason I'm bringing this up is when I first heard that this weekend, first time I saw it was on one of these shows where they're going over the highlights on Sunday, and they go, Bo Nix has entered the chat for the Rookie of the Year award. And I was going, oh, they forgot that Jaden Daniels exists, I guess, because he didn't play today. I start looking over numbers, and I'm going, damn, he's actually a lot closer to Daniels statistically than you would think in a lot of these categories.
There's no other way around that, right? Now, I generally, at the end of a year, We'll look at passing touchdowns. I still think it's an important stat because those things tend to even out. They have not evened out yet for Jaden Daniels. Like, you can go through the games, and I'm sure Bo Nix has, should be touchdowns. Every quarterback does. But that 3 or 4 touchdown game for Jaden Daniels is coming. Not necessarily because he's prolific as a passer or something. It's like D'Ami Brown doesn't drop one. The, you know, little flip on a bootleg in the goal line situation to a tight end, or, you know, throwing it to a lineman or whatever. That hasn't happened. So the passing touchdown stat has been kind of remarkably low for someone that's thrown as efficiently as Jaden Daniels has. Their rushing touchdown numbers are astounding. That's a product of good offense and him playing well. So I do expect a little bit of a bump at some point. But when you start counting them up over a long enough sample, Bo Nix has been much more prolific in terms of scoring passes than Daniels has through this many number of games. Daniels missed one, of course, from injury, and Nix played once in a monsoon, basically. He threw for 60 yards in a game in that, I think it was the Jets game, right? So, you know, as you start to add it up more recently, Nix is, again, 6 touchdowns and no picks over his last 2 games, and that's not what Jaden Daniels has done.
Do you agree with me, though, that it's too early, if you're a Commanders fan, to start thinking that he will catch Daniels? I think we're watching a NASCAR race, and right now we're going, oh, wow, Bo Nix is caught up to Daniels. He's only 2 car lengths back, but Daniels just had his pit stop.
Yeah, he's won 225 laps. He's been the leader.
Yeah.
Has his pit stop as Nix is gaining ground, and now there's a great chance for him to take off again. Sure.
And I think Nick still's got a pit stop coming, right? And you're going to, in other words, if you look at this race as a snapshot on lap 156, you go, oh, he's only 3 car lengths back. But what you don't know is I just got off the pits, and I'm about to run for 50 more miles, and you've got a pit in 2 miles, and so you're not nearly as close in this race as you might think. Now, the Dallas game could go a long way to making me feel different if the offense doesn't get back to doing what it was before Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, but he's got the Cowboys and the Titans and the Saints and the Cowboys again all coming up in this 6-game stretch where Washington should win at least 3, if not all 4 of those games, and ideally play pretty well offensively. So I think he got off to a start that's just insurmountable, and he's going to win this thing. But I'm willing to acknowledge at least that for the moment, going into week, where are we, 12? This week 12 in the NFL coming up?
Yep.
God, it's flying by.
Yeah, it's so fast.
Going into week 12, it's probably a little closer than we'd like to acknowledge. But I do want to open up the phones on that and see what people think at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Is this actually a 2-horse race, or do you think Daniels should be considered in a league of his own at this point in this conversation?
I would say it's a 2-horse race. So, the gap is closed. But let me be clear about this. Daniels is the favorite. He should be the favorite. I'm predicting that he will win it. But it's not a, 100% unanimous done deal just yet like we thought it was a month ago.
Well, that's another question. Will Daniels pull away down the stretch? If you're acknowledging that it's tightened and it's pretty close right now, we can go over the Bo Nix schedule the rest of the way, but is this a situation where you feel like it doesn't matter? It's November 20th. They don't give out the award right now. By January, Daniels will be laps ahead of him. MGM National Harbor listener lines open, 800-636-1067 if you want to join us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back. Bo Nix has closed in on Jaden Daniels in the Rookie of the Year chase. Odds makers with the odds they're putting out reflecting that at this point. But when you really look at the numbers, it's getting closer, and that's because Bo Nix has been balling out. 14 passing touchdowns, couple of rushing touchdowns, even caught a touchdown. Just two interceptions since week four. A 17-2 score to turnover ratio for him during a stretch in which he's now within a couple hundred total yards. He is within about a point and a half in percentage completion percentage. He's got four more total touchdowns than Jaden Daniels. Daniels has thrown half as many interceptions. And I just come back to the fact that if you watch it, Daniels has been better. I know that that sounds like a trump card where, yeah, you and all your information and your numbers and your data. But if you watch the games, Daniels, up until Philly, has not had a bad game. Nix early in the year had a couple of those. And what is asked of these two guys is a little bit different, too. And I think Daniels is more of a one-man band at times in Washington's offense. Having said that, though, the numbers are the numbers. That's eventually what people are going to vote on. The question for you guys is, do you think this is getting close enough that you're a little nervous? Nix very likely is going to have two of the three Rookie of the Month awards after this month.
It is closer than people want to acknowledge. And that's okay, by the way. It doesn't take anything away from the season Jaden Daniels is having, and I think is going to have.
Should we care if he doesn't win it?
Doesn't bother me.
Me either, but you know there's a lot of fans out there that would be salty.
If Bo Nix wins it, I'll still take Jaden Daniels, thank you.
The funny thing is, I say we collectively as like Washington, D.C. or the Commanders fan base, because I'm certainly not in this game and you're not playing this game either. But the amount of back and forth with like Bears fans about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and the arguing and the infighting on social media, and quietly like Bo Nix, no one was paying attention to him, was just putting numbers together. Nobody's yelling at Broncos fans, I don't think, in circles online about the Commanders.
Yeah, so it's the kind of thing that doesn't bother me. We got our guy. Anybody else can do whatever the hell they want. Celebrate, Don't celebrate, pout, get mad, throw something, sit quiet. I don't care. We got Jaden Daniels. That's who I'm taking every time.
And I think the Broncos feel that way probably about their guy.
Yeah, they're probably thrilled.
The Patriots feel that way about their guy. And I would be willing to bet the Bears feel that way about Williams, who's had the most negative, the most bad, has been actually the number one pick at this point.
There's been more baggage there. Yeah, I mean, just the way that this is trending, it's the only thing that I'm saying. Jaden Daniels doesn't have a rushing touchdown since week four. That doesn't sound right, does it? But that's the fact. Nix has come on lately, whereas Daniels hasn't. I expect that to change.
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. I think while it's tightened for sure, Daniels is going to pull away and win this thing, and it'll be a pretty easy victory. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? Hey, I think this is a great topic. I mean, obviously, both players are worthy. I think this is really all about momentum. I mean, Jaden, since the injury, hasn't been the lights-out, you know, superstar, once-in-a-generation guy that we thought he was at the beginning of the season. And Nix has emerged because he has excellent coaching. But he's also played well, and he deserves it. I'm not surprised by the performance of either of these guys, though. I mean, if you look at where they graded out in their final season in college, they were the top two ranked quarterbacks in the NCAA, according to PFF. And I think the Broncos really got a great deal by not mortgaging the future to trade up. And they've got what they believe is a franchise quarterback, where they were able to get him in the draft.
Appreciate you, buddy. I mean, we're talking about this at rock bottom for Daniels, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be just the point I keep circling back to, which is he's averaged over the last 2 weeks basically 195 passing yards with a completion percentage that is around 58 or 59%, and he's got a touchdown and an interception. So we're just looking at the Polaroid at the complete wrong time, whereas you give me a Cowboys game and come back to me and see what happens. Looking at Bo Nix's remaining schedule, by the way, because I think that could be instructive, and what Denver's got lying ahead, he's going to have a more arduous road. They play the Raiders, which is a lot like the Cowboys for Washington. Then they play the Browns, who are bad, but it's not a terrible defensive team. The Colts, again, bad, but not a terrible defensive team. The Chargers, really difficult game.
We're good, yeah.
The Chiefs, really difficult game, so two of his last three. And even though the Bengals probably will be eliminated, their defense has been bad. So he's going to put up some numbers. I've got basically two games where he could really be up against it, against one for Jaden the rest of the way.
Yeah, it depends on how you feel about the Titans' defense. But I think your point stands. Like, Nix is going to have a chance to make some hay.
Let's go to Michael in Alexandria. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Grant, Danny, how y'all doing today,
good,
man?
Good.
Yeah, so I don't have any bias towards either team. I'm not a Commanders or a Broncos fan, so just from an unbiased standpoint looking at it, I do think that Jaden is favored. It is a lot of football left to be played. It's week 12 coming up, so you still got like six games left, if I'm not mistaken. So it's hard to give out the it's impossible to give out the award right now. I think the previous caller mentioned something about having momentum. It is a momentous thing, too. One bad game for one quarterback, one good game for one quarterback in the same week, and all of a sudden, you know, odds skyrocket or odds change up.
But, Michael, the fact that even the momentum matters that much, and thanks for the call, is a tell that this thing's gotten tighter. Because the gap was so massive prior to very recently here that a bad week for Daniels and a good week for anybody else wouldn't have really mattered that much. I mean, the last time I'd say that it was even a conversation would have been going into that Bears game. If Caleb Williams would have lit it up, he could have closed the gap to where Nix is now. Because it's still pretty lopsided. Like, I think Jaden is still something like a minus 400 favorite in a lot of places, mm-hmm. minus 375.
He's still the favorite, and he should be.
Heavy, heavy favorite. It's just that it's gone from there's no way anybody else wins it to now there's another quarterback in the mix. And your math was right. Both of them have six games left, which if you just do, you know, 6 divided by 17, that's 35% of the season. So there's a reason we don't give the award out yet. You still got a third of the year to determine this thing. Nick Leesburg, what's up?
Hey, guys. I know it's early, but listen, I don't care what the stats say. Have we talked about Bo Nix as an MVP candidate? Unofficially, we haven't, man. And I know Jaden's first half production will not be replicated and it wasn't sustainable. But let's talk in a couple weeks that Bo Nix should get hot. If he's what, you know, he's shaping up to be, he should get hot. The Raiders, the Browns, the Colts, like you said, those are three games where we should see it. But I don't care what you say. JD5 bearing a serious injury, he's taking it home.
Well, I agree with you. Let me ask you this. Do you care if he wins it? Like, does it matter to you really if he wins the award or not? I get the sense, at least online, that Commanders fans care a lot about him winning that award.
I do. Lifelong Skins fan since 95. This is the best season we've had. Granted, we're only, you know, halfway through. It matters. It matters for the city. It matters for the team. It's a statement. New team, new identity, new quarterback. Let's start it off right.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, dude. I know, and things like that do matter to a lot of fans. I'm not belittling that, by the way. That doesn't bother me.
It's exciting.
It is.
I remember when I was young, maybe I'm just more cynical now. Like when I was a kid, that would have meant the world to me. If my quarterback, whose jersey I bought, who just got drafted, number 2 overall, who I believe in as the future and the franchise and the face of the whole thing, if he won the Rookie of the Year, it would have been a game changer to me. I just know that, you know, Robert Griffin won the Rookie of the Year. The mm-hmm. next year, it all came crashing down. Like the hardware doesn't change how I feel. I've seen enough to know this guy's good and is going to be hopefully very special and the starter for a long, long time. And that's, to me, the whole point. The award, whatever. I mean, it's like Jacob Young should have won a gold glove. He didn't. Now what? He was still an awesome defensive
center fielder. That's what I care about. But again, I understand that. Some folks like to have the bragging rights or whatever. Some folks, like me, just don't care. I mean, to me, the thing that I've wanted solved my whole life, that includes the great teams that I rooted for, by the way. And I got to see the 3 Super Bowls. I was a little kid for the first one, but I saw it. I've wanted this. I've wanted the quarterback where I go, there's no down. The only time my team's going to be bad is if he's hurt. Other than that, I've got a chance every year. We've got that now. I'm so happy with that none of this really is, it's more academic to me, and it's fun as a nice data point for bragging rights at a barbershop. But, you know, the fact is, he's having an outstanding season. He's the right guy. That's my big takeaway. That's how I go to sleep at night.
Let's go to Steve, who's in Rockville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Okay, Grant and Danny, guys. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Good. Yeah, so my take on it is I think he will definitely outfinish Bo Nix. If he writes himself mentally, in my opinion, I want to see what you guys thought about it. I thought the pummeling he took in Pittsburgh really was a wake-up call for him. He got hit hard. He got hit low and high. they wiped the smile right off his face. I think it had been so smooth for him most of the season, and the hits that he took in that game might have shaken him up a bit, possibly affected him in the Philly game. I don't know. It's a possibility, but if it's true and he's not hurt at all, then it's something he'll overcome and still finish Bo Nix.
Yeah, the rut, I'm not even going to call it a slump. A, it hasn't been enough games, and B, hasn't played poorly enough. But the rut, if you will, is either being caused by the rib to an extensive amount, or it's not. It almost doesn't matter, though. Like, they're going to play easier opponents going forward, and you got to feel like they're going to snap out of it. By the way, he was calling from Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
It was not that long ago that we did a Friday field trip in Rockville.
Now, was it North Bethesda?
Technically, it
north
was.
North of Bethesda in Rockville?
I think literally Rockville, technically Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
But I bring that up because it's almost Friday again.
Yeah.
And this Friday, we've got a field trip Friday. We are back in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Virginia's doing great.
Virginia's doing great.
We have made two straight Maryland stops. You guys asked, we delivered. We're back in Virginia. We are at the Casual Pint in Falls Church on Friday for our field trip. And what better way to kick off your weekend ahead of Commanders Cowboys on Sunday at home than coming out on Friday and having a casual pint with your pals in Falls Church.
Virginia's doing great.
Thank you, Governor. It's right there on Route 50, Arlington Boulevard. The name of that road changes like 10 different times, but you know where it is.
It's on Arlington Boulevard by definition. I don't know where it is. I'm going to put it in my GPS.
Yeah, you'll find it. You'll be able to do it. But it's not far from old Randy Duye. It'll be just fine and dandy. See you at the casual pint.
Friday, Falls Church, field trip Friday, your pals Grant and Danny. We're doing things the right way around these parts. At the top of the hour at 3, Eric Flack's going to join us. Channel 9 investigative reporter. He's been all over the RFK site and whether or not the Commanders are ever going to have a stadium there. There was big news on that front yesterday. We'll talk to him about it coming up at 3 o'clock. But next, Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Capitals, came on The Fan earlier today and actually gave pretty legitimate Alex Ovechkin update. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny. Here's the question for Eric, I think, after yesterday's development. So yesterday, at a 17-2 clip, 19 senators voting, a committee pushed the opportunity for the RFK site to be given back to Washington, D.C. to the Senate floor, and now they've got to get it to a vote. That has to happen before the end of December, or else there's a waiting period because Congress is leaving and going their separate directions for an extended period of time until everybody is sworn in and now the newly elected folks get there, and you're starting over, basically. So there is an element of a shot clock here, Danny, going into the month.
Yep.
But what I want to know, because people with the team tell me this was actually the harder step than the next one, which is to beat the clock in December and to get the vote and to get a vote that passes. The team feels like they are now in the clear, at least the person I spoke to, that they have basically, that was the play they needed. That was 4th and 14, and they got 15, and now it's 1st and goal from a foot away. If D.C. gets the land, is it over? Or then do you still have infighting on the D.C. council?
Well, what we've seen is every time we think it's done, there's another curveball. Nobody had Steve Daines pops up and goes, you know, my constituents, this one tribe and this one. Nobody saw that coming.
Steve Daines was not on my bingo card.
Right? I mean, we didn't have I'm not throwing any shade here, but with Virginia Stadium deal for Monumental Sports, that, you know, once, hey, here are the demands for whatever toll relief means. Here are the demands. They're met. Did anyone have Luis Lucas memeing on their bingo card for the last second rug pull?
I actually did have that one.
You had that?
Yeah.
You had that covered?
After her 6th meme, I had that one.
Yeah, so the first meme caught me by surprise.
The first memes one was
2 through 7, I was like, yeah, you know what? I should have seen that coming after the first one. But the point of the dude's story is, count on these things being done at your own peril. That's my only...
And I do think there's an element, we were talking yesterday about the news breaking and what a big deal it was and how exciting it was, and at the same time with Ovi's injury hanging over our heads and not knowing what was going on with him, like, what do you care more about? And almost every single caller and most of the people that tweeted us said Ovi's injury over the stadium. And the main logic on that was the stadium thing is just a never-ending shell game.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, get excited. Actually, don't be excited. Get excited. Don't be that excited. They did it. Actually, there's one more vote. This time it's for real. No, it isn't. And so it's like, there is this feeling of wake me up when it's time to drive to the RFK site for the game in 2031.
Like the next thing I read, because we did this with Dan Snyder getting removed as owner, where it was like every day it was like, what about this scandal? And it's like, I just can't get my hopes up. But then eventually it happened.
And I would do that again too, my friend.
Right.
Because that worked out pretty well.
The next time I'm gonna start to really get my hopes up or pay attention is when that shovel is underneath a foot. And that foot shoves that shovel down and somebody scoops it and pauses for a picture. Then I'll go, all right, maybe I'll start reading again. Maybe I'll start paying attention again.
Where they break out the ribbon and those giant scissors.
The super size
scissors. Where do they sell those scissors?
Who makes them?
I think they've got to be made specifically for that event.
Yeah.
For a ribbon
cutter. There's a giant scissor distribution company somewhere.
Think about that.
What's the warehouse look like?
There's just a factory where there's just like thousands of pairs of these scissors that are the size of a toddler just hanging from shelves.
It's a cocktail party somewhere. What do? I make giant scissors for ribbon cutting ceremonies.
I'd love to meet that guy.
What's his name?
And by the way, what a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
There used to not be those scissors. And then someone said, you know what's a good idea? To cut a ribbon?
Enormous scissors.
Let's have massive scissors. But I'd love to be at that ceremony. I think that could be fun. You and I kicking some dirt around, throwing some shovels into the ground.
I want a shovel. Can I shovel?
The symbolism of moving the dirt, breaking ground, that means that's the start, Danny.
Yep, that's right.
That's the start of building a stadium.
That's what I want.
There are other steps. I can't help you with those.
No, that I can't do. I don't want to go to the lobbying event.
I can put the shovel in the ground.
Yeah.
I can't actually build you the stadium. Because I can't build an IKEA table with instructions and 14 steps. So I ain't making you a stadium that isn't going to fall down. Or I could have just stopped at a stadium. I don't think I would erect a stadium, let alone one that could fall down.
I don't think I could make a Lego stadium. I don't think I could make a diorama of a stadium effectively right now.
I definitely could not.
Yep.
Spencer Carberry was on the Junkies earlier this morning. He's always very, very good. This was Carbs on Alex Ovechkin's injury.
Here's the final word on it, and then we're going to let you go. Don't panic is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't something where his season is ending. It's week to week, and there'll be an update coming soon.
So that was the last thing he said about it, and really the end of the interview. And to me, that is the whole kit and caboodle, right? Earlier in the interview, in a lot more words, he said a lot less, where it's week to week, we'll monitor him, our doctors want to get in there. That was, and it's a good job by Eric to come back and just say, is there a chance he's not playing? Because Carberry came out, and the answer everybody wants is this guy's season over? They asked him point blank, and he wouldn't answer. And then they started like debating it, them in the studio. But is it an ACL? He wouldn't answer that. He's like, oh, come on, guys, really? Is it an MCL? They didn't mention Achilles, but they're talking lower leg. Like, that's one of the concerns. Is he going to miss the rest of this season? And for Carberry to come on the radio and say his season's not over, it's a true week-to-week injury, for the team to put out week-to-week, he can't now miss the rest of the season without some massive setback or them finding something that wasn't there. Like, there's a difference between not providing any information. So if they hadn't said anything yet and we're just still waiting, and then Carberry comes on today and says, look, it's a lower body, we can't really tell you much more than that, then it could be that he's out for the year and they don't want to say it. But when you come out and you say week to week, and then he goes on the radio and says he's not going to miss the rest of the season, it's a true week-to-week injury, I don't think you can do all that, and then he misses the end of the year without a lot of people being really, really upset, and for good reason.
Yeah, so the upset part I'm with you on, but here's how it's possible. I got the sense also that, you know, more examinations is coming. Early in the interview, you spoke about how our team doctors and these other doctors, everyone's going to look. They may not think he's out for the year right now, but when they go poking around in there, they may find some things that aren't real good, and maybe he is.
That's possible. I'd like to think that by the time he came on the show this morning, which is the injury happened on Monday night.
Yep.
You had an evaluation on Monday done in the moment. So let's say it's the knee and they're saying lower leg. But generally teams know based on the field test. Not always, not 100%, but you got a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an Achilles, you know it. If it's a knee, that's a season ender, you know it. So by the next morning, you're traveling back. All the conversations they've had. By the way, they landed yesterday at, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock. They right away could have taken images. I'm sure they did. They did whatever else the doctors wanted to do. They've been waiting all day last night. By this morning, I'd like to think he's got a pretty good beat on what that injury is. Doesn't mean that you can't find something new. And if that happens, then they can correct it and we can all be in misery together. But I think as he came on the air today, he knows what's going on.
So you think they know? And just haven't said.
I mean, it's been 36 hours.
But don't you have to wait for swelling to come down sometimes in order to get the right MRI or you know, what other tests are going to be done?
I know this. When a player tears their ACL on Sunday, we often find out about it on Sunday night. And we definitely find out about it on Monday. I mean, it's never 2 days late. Like, we don't know yet. You could get more tests. Dak Prescott tore his butt fell off the bone or something. Mm-hmm. Like, his hamstring and his butt.
His butt fell right off.
His butt, like, fell. Literally off.
Yeah.
I don't even know how your butt falls off.
I've never heard of that.
But that happened to Dak. Like, he got 16 opinions or whatever. But we heard within 24 hours, the fear is his butt fell off. And he's not going to play.
But that's one of those leagues where they correctly share information. But I see your point. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I think they've got a pretty good idea, but there is still some TBD.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Eric Flack covering the RFK site news yesterday. We will dive deep with him, get you all the info you need on the Fan next.